So people asked me how vacation was. It was very good. Last Sunday, we went to two different church services as my daughter and her camp counselors, they closed the year out by singing in churches. And the first church, of course, everyone wore their masks like we are today. That's indoor. But the outdoor, we are safe space and have to wear a mask. But I think that's sort of the good normal, so it's good to be back to look at familiar faces wearing masks. So I know I'm not wearing one now, but I get to preach. Anyways, whenever I hear that hymn, "For Those on Peril on the Sea," I think about the movie Titanic. And when they're singing that hymn, and sort of an ironic scene in the movie, they're singing the hymn, "For Those on Peril on the Sea." Now, we all know what happened to the Titanic, right? And I remember in the movie, Rose said that sort of her lover on the boat, her romantic partner on the boat, that Jack saved her in every way. Well, that's not really true. Jack didn't save her eternally. Jack didn't save her soul from death and from hell. And so the topic of our sermon deals with saving faith, faith that brings eternal life. May I ask you, what type of person are you? You don't have to raise your hands, but are you a doer or a watcher? You're a person that likes to sit back and reflect, you just get going. Okay? Are you a saver or a spender? You always look forward to a rainy day, or you have money, you have to spend it now. Are you a person who counts nickels and dimes, throws them around like manhole covers, or just go ahead and pretty spendthrifty? Are you a talker or a listener? You're a person who sits back and reflects, or you do a lot of talking. Are you an indoor-outdoor person? Rather be indoor, or rather be outdoor doing things outside? Are you quiet or sociable? You're a person who really gets a high from being around other people and talking? Are you more to yourself? Are you a painter or a pointer? What I mean by that, are you a person who likes to use stories and illustrations to share about your life? Or do you just get right to the point? A painter is a picture person who tells a story and paints a picture to describe what they want to say. Are you a morning or evening person? Now, I'm really sort of an evening person. And my wife's shaking her head, okay? I'm not a morning person. It takes a lot for me to be here, all right? But still, I'm glad to be here, don't be wrong. 8 o'clock's the worst. I keep on telling myself during the 8 o'clock service, what am I doing here? But that's okay, all right? It's good to be here either way. Are you a morning, evening person? Are you patient or impulsive? Willing to wait, or you have to have it now? Are you patient or impulsive? Now, probably the most difficult of all questions, and this is according to the modern sociologist, Philip Roif, and he views a modern American society, and he says there's two types of people. One is a religious sort of person, and the other is a psychological sort of person. So are you religious or are you psychological? Now, Philip Roif, he dissects that a little bit more for us. And Philip Roif says this: a religious person is born or seeks to be saved. A religious person looks at themselves and says, I'm a sinner in front of God, and I'm concerned that I'm going to be punished eternally. I'm a person who needs salvation, and I need God to save me. They view life that there's an eternal reality in life, and that I'm not quite the person I need to be to have eternal life, and I need to be saved. Or, so let me tell you more about a religious person. A religious person sees the next life greater than this life. So a religious person says, maybe things don't work out now, but all wrongs will be made right in heaven. They understand that there's a greater joy awaiting them. A religious person waits for salvation in heaven. Hence the hymn, I'm but a stranger here, heaven is my home. A religious person is appreciative of grace. It says, by God's grace go I. A religious person realizes that the cross saved them, Jesus saved me, and that's a treasure in my heart. And a religious person sees life as part of God's plan, that I'm here because God has a plan for me and everything works for a purpose. Now, on the other hand, what's a psychological person? A psychological person is a person who is born to be pleased. Now, this is him looking at modern American society. A psychological person sees life, ignores the next life, loves this life. I'm really not that concerned if I'm saved or not because that really doesn't matter to me right now. What matters to me right now is everything's going well with me. A psychological person waits for the next adventure or pleasure. Everything has to be a high. Everything has to have an entertainment value in it. That's a psychological person. I'm not saying a psychological person is not a believer, but they just have a different focus of life. A psychological person is appreciative of what others have done for them. That's even someone in the church. Well, what has the church done for me lately? What has a pastor and staff done for me? And a psychological person sees life as what's in it for them. So there's two types of people, according to sociologists, in modern American society. And so hence, I believe, one of the reasons why our numbers are somewhat down is because there's a lot of psychological people in the United States. And I really don't like to hear about heaven or hell and salvation and Jesus and that stuff. Just tell me religious stuff so I can have a better life right now and my kids listen to me a little bit more and I'm able to manage my checkbook a little better. A psychological person doesn't see the reality of sin, hell, heaven, and Jesus Christ. It's as if the cross has lost some of its meaning. And to be very blunt with everyone, the cross bores me. I am bored by the cross. That is very boring to me. Now, for us believers, the cross is everything. So to him, there's two types of people in the world. So in Acts, Paul and Silas are in prison for being religious people, and they're chained up and they're bound up, and they speak psalms to one another, they sing hymns, and they speak God's word. And God wants them free, so the Holy Spirit sends an earthquake, and the chains are loosened, and the doors are open, the cell doors are open, everyone gets to go free. Now, in America, due to COVID, we let prisoners out, okay? All right? But back then, it was the cell doors opening, and the chains going free, and all the prisoners get to go free, and the jailer got very concerned. Because if any prisoner escapes under my watch, I'm going to be put to death by the Roman authorities. And he's very scared. But he's a religious person. And he's scared that if I get put to death, I might not be with God forever. I might be punished for my sins. He's a religious person who understands I'm not quite there. I'm not ready to meet God. And in a panic and in a source of hope and faith, he falls down in front of Paul and he says this. Can you read what the question he asked him? Go ahead, read it with me. What? He's a religious person. What must I do to have eternal life? I'm scared. My earthly life might be over. He's a religious person. Then Paul shares these wonderful words. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And it just wasn't for him. It was for his household as well. You and your household. He was a religious person. So I'll talk a little bit more about saving faith with you. Okay? In today's world, in modern day, even Defiance County, Defiance 2020, a lot of people don't care if it's true or if it saves, but if it works for me. I think that's some of the reason why mega churches grow. Well, I'm going to tell you a way that you can get life to work for you. We're not so much concerned if things work for you or not. I hope they do. We're concerned that you know Jesus and him who died for you, that you and I might have eternal what? Or life eternal, however you want to view it. It's sort of a twist on modern America, how people view life. But I want to talk to you about saving faith. And this is what Paul says. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and your heart. And by the way, when you come to worship, our liturgy puts the word of God in your mouth. We speak it together. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and heart. And if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be what? Say it. So a religious person, a Christian says, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe that God rose from the dead and I have eternal life. What I confess with my lips is what I believe in my heart. That, friends in Christ, is saving faith. That has the power to turn a psychological person into a religious person, and even a religious person to know the truth all the more. And I want to talk to you about the word is near you. A treasure seeker. A treasure seeker is a person who always believes that the gem is out there, the treasure's out there, it's not here. A Fern Fessel, he was this guy who lived out west, and in 1998 he was diagnosed with cancer and only given 6 months to live. And he found out that he was able to get over his cancer. But when he found out about his cancer, he took all his possessions and put it in a box. to give it to someone when he died. And he found out that he'd be cured of cancer, and so he took all the possessions in the box and he hid it somewhere out west. And he wrote a poem, and in the poem were hints how to get to that treasure. 350,000 Americans read that poem and came out west all the way from New Mexico to Montana. I've just been there looking for that treasure. And they examined his poem carefully so they can find the treasure, because they believe that the treasure was where? Out there. There is something greater out there. About a year ago, someone found it. It's worth $1 million. What I'm trying to say to you, friends in Christ, is we don't have to be treasure seekers. Why? Because the word is where? Near you. It's in our preschool. It's in our school. It's in our cross training. It's in our sermons. Yesterday was Janice Johansson's funeral. We were saddened by the loss of her life. Rejoice, she's with heaven. Pastor Luring shared the word there. The word is near you. The word is here now. We don't have to be treasure seekers. Everything we need for salvation is here right now. God's word and the blessings of the cross. The reminder of our baptism, the hope and the promise of the Lord's Supper. The word is near you. So I need to ask you, what are you looking for that isn't here? Are you looking for the next religious high? Are you looking for sermons that jerk your emotions around? Are you looking for great moral messages? What is it that I might be looking for that isn't here? Because what is found here is salvation in Jesus Christ. And a religious person rejoices. The message that Jesus died for you and for me and for everything, it's right here. We don't have to be treasure seekers. The gift is where? Right here, right now. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for me. Right here, right now, here. I want to talk about what the mouth confesses. I believe if you listen to a person long enough, they'll tell you what they believe. Just listen. Listen to a person talk for 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, and they'll eventually share what's in their heart. They'll share with you what's important to them and what's not important to them. So it's true that the mouth confesses what's true, what's in the heart. It's sort of like a well. What's down the well will come up in the bucket. What a person talks out of their mouth is what comes out of their heart. Now, my wife and Kyle and I, we did some sightseeing in North Dakota, the exciting state of North Dakota. If you haven't been there, never mind. Anyways. But North Dakota is where I'm sort of a Lewis and Clark geek. Lewis and Clark had their first winter, and they were with it's called a Mandan village, and they're with the Hidatsa Sioux tribe of Native Americans. Now, when Lewis and Clark took the trip of the Missouri River, just a little piece of information about history, they always brought out barrels of whiskey and gin and blue beads, and the Native Americans were very appreciative of that. And that's how they communicated. And they also had little medals they gave as ambassadors of the United States to the Native American tribes. Now, the Hidatsa Sioux, and this is sort of a picture of that, the Hidatsa Sioux were sort of the bad boys of the region. They were sort of the power brokers among all the other tribes. And the first thing, when Lewis and Clark got off their boat, it's shown here, and they had their soldiers get out the barrels of whiskey and gin, the Hidatsa Sioux chief said, "Why are you giving me something that I'm going to drink that's going to make me sound foolish? Why would I want to put something in my mouth, drink something that makes me sound foolish?" Now, no offense. Have you ever known anyone who put something in their mouth and sounded foolish? Never mind, okay? What are you saying? Never mind, okay? My point is that they had integrity. I wasn't going to put anything in my mouth that would change my confession, that make me sound dumb. So please put your whiskey and gin and liquor away. We're not going to sound foolish. What Hidatsa Sioux are saying is our heart and our mouths are going to be the same. So the point is, if you don't believe it, don't say it. If you don't believe it, don't say it. If you believe it, say it. What you confess with your mouth, make sure your heart believes, and what your heart believes, make sure it confesses with the mouth. So every time we worship in this house, our confession of sins, our creeds, our hymns, the liturgy itself is that of religion. Jesus died for you and for me. It isn't entertaining. It's not meant to be a psychological high. It's meant to proclaim the truth. We confess saving faith in Jesus. And with all love to everybody here, if I actually, you actually, and I actually pay attention to the creeds and the hymns and the liturgy and confession of our sins, we hear of Jesus who died for us. We hear of saving faith. The word is near you. What I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, I will be saved. The belief of Jesus Christ. And what do we believe? Well, we believe Jesus is Lord. I believe in God the Father Almighty and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. We believe in Jesus. With all love to everybody here, I sometimes talk to people who go to the churches and say, what do you like about it? What's a lot of fun? What do you like about it? My kids like the program. What do you like about the church? Well, you know, I just, they're meaningful messages. What do I like? Everyone should say, what I like is that we proclaim Jesus as Lord who died for me. Let me tell you about Jesus, God Almighty, who came to earth, who died in my place and rose from the dead, who will come back to judge and take us to heaven. That's Jesus. That's who we confess. Now, Paul revisits the Old Testament. He says this. Ready for this? Give up the folly of good works. I don't care how good you are, how good you aren't are. That doesn't matter. What matters is that we sinners believe that Jesus Christ died and rose for us. That, friends in Christ, is saving faith. Give that up. Now, Martin Luther sort of puts a cap on this, and I'm going to ask you to follow along with me. Confession, confessing I'm a sinner, Jesus died for me, is a chief work of faith, for here a person denies himself and confesses God. We're not confessing ourselves here. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And he dies in his confession of God by the denial of themselves, for there can be no greater denial of oneself than this, that one dies to confess God. So when we confess Jesus Christ, we're saying we're nothing, and he is everything. He gave his life for us. And Luther continues. By doing this, a person surrenders himself in order that God may be confirmed, and a person's confession of Christ, of him, may be also confirmed. What we speak with our mouth here denies us and affirms Jesus who gave his life for us for eternal life. What a blessing that is, saving faith. The word is near you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. What we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts, Jesus died for us, we shall be saved. My hope and prayer is that's all of us. That's what we all believe and hope and treasure. So how about this for a closing thought? Of what we do in God's house and what we do even outside of God's house by confession. Can you read it with me? Give us lips to sing thy glory, tongues thy mercy to proclaim, throats that shout the hope that fills us, mouths to speak thy holy name. And all God's people say,